Well, there we go. Good morning, everybody. Aaron Nagler here with Cheesehead TV, coming to you live on the social channels on Monday. The Packers will be back at practice today to get ready for the Jacksonville Jaguars after a weekend that saw pretty much everything break the Packers' way, whether it was the Bucs going down, whether it was Seattle losing, the Bears losing, everything you wanted to see as a Packers fan pretty much transpired this weekend. So good weekend for the good guys, and now they return to work and get ready to take on the lowly Jacksonville Jaguars. Good to see everybody in the comments. Always nice to wake up on a Monday morning, sun is shining, birds are singing, and Packers fans worldwide are joining us here at Cheesehead TV. when does Black Friday start on Teespring? Asking for a friend. We'll find out, Joey. I don't know. I guess the race is on. Black Friday on Teespring, or you getting your Twitter account back? We'll see what happens first. Do players get paid if they don't play? If they don't, could that be why players get so mad when they're held out? Well, more often than not, yeah, they still get paid. Sometimes guys will have roster bonuses, active roster bonuses inside their contracts, but more often than not, they do. Did you see Brady, effing clown? I mean, Brady had a bad day at the office. There's no doubt about it. I mean, that's not to take away from the fact that he is still one of the best to ever do it, or anything he's done this season. But damn, he had a bad game last night. There's no doubt about it. And the piece de resistance for me was at the end of the first half when they were desperate to try and get something going. And Brady threw a go ball up the right sideline and Antonio Brown sat it down on what he thought was supposed to be a comeback. Oh, you mean you can't just sign a wide receiver off the street or bring him in via trade and just hit the ground running like it's Madden? You mean, oh, guys need time? Maybe several games? And by that time, the landscape of the entire league may have changed? Huh. It's funny because I heard so many Packers fans last week in the last 10 days tell me that they didn't make any moves and they're getting left behind. Hey, if they're getting left behind from what the Buccaneers put on the field last night, count me in. It's a long season, kids. Got to take the 30,000-foot view and not get caught up in the moment. Don't be a slave to the headlines. It's a long season. Packers about to get Lazard back. You saw the impact Aaron Jones had immediately. Oh, those guys, they've been with the team for a while. They know the playbook. They know what's up. They're going to have immediate impact. Packers know what they're doing, kids. That was an incredible weekend. More of that, please. Totally hear that, Corey. Morning, Nags. Friendly reminder, Corey Linsley is a free agent next year. Andrew, we are well aware of that development. We're trying not to think about it. Trash Panda, thanks for the super chat. Interesting report on Dalvin Tomlinson. Oh, no. You were doing so well, Trash. And then you went, thoughts? I said on Twitter, it hurts, man. I thought he would have been an excellent addition. Leave it to Dave Gettleman to hold on to a guy who he's probably going to lose in free agency this year, though. But hey, the Packers are making calls, as we said they would. Lazard this weekend. Robin, here's the thing. They have to activate Lazard this weekend or they're going to lose him for the season. Once he hit the practice field a couple weeks ago, they had 21 days. That 21 days will be up after this game. So I fully expect Lazard to get activated either early in the week, because they know they got to do it this week, or Saturday before the game, but it will happen this week. Corey Linsley just snaps the ball. I know that's not a real comment. I know you're being facetious. At least I pray that you are, because otherwise that is one of the dumbest things ever typed into the internet, and that's saying a lot, especially after this weekend. Oh, no. It's all right. Are the Vikings a fraudulent 3-5 team? Oh, they're kicking ass on the ground. It's okay, Olive. Thank you. They're kicking ass, man. They're certainly hitting their stride. There's no doubt about it. And as I said on Twitter last night, people talking about the Saints and the fact that the Packers beat them. A lot of times it's not who you play, it's when you play them. And the Vikings have come out of their bye week looking rejuvenated, and they have a new sense of direction and purpose. Now, I'm not sitting here telling you that they're going to go on some run that's going to overtake the Packers for the North, because I don't see that. But they're certainly playing much better ball. And, you know, a big part of that is taking the ball out of Kirk Cousins' hands and putting it into Dalvin Cook's. There's still a lot of fire in this defense. Need Z to pump the squad up. Justin, I think we saw a hint of that against the 49ers. Interesting look at the 6-1 front that they played. We'll see how much that continues against quarterbacks who can actually attack them downfield. But, yeah, it's trending in the right direction. Still a long way to go, though. Greetings from the UK. What's up, JJ? Good morning from New York. Let the Vikings peak now and choke later. Fair. Lewis, I think Goody understands the shortfalls of this team through repeated trade interests. Does make me scratch my head a bit about the draft, more so defensive line than wide receiver. Lewis, the defensive line is, I mean, it's a conundrum in the sense that he did precious little this offseason other than reportedly offer Snacks a contract and sign Trayvon Hester. There was no doubt they needed to augment the talent level there. When it comes to the draft, and I've said it before, and I'll keep saying it, don't judge it on this year. Wait for 3 years. They're always looking ahead. They don't draft like other people. You're going to love this draft when Jordan Love is balling out and A.J. Dillon is breaking tackles and scoring touchdowns. That was never going to happen this year, but it's all about long-term planning. They don't plug holes in the immediacy. It's just not how they work. Lance, thanks for the super chat. Good morning to you, Nagler. Good morning to you, Lance. Thank you for the support. Very nice of you. Just wait till we start getting those takeaways. Hey, you start hitting the quarterback, you start affecting the pocket. That's what happens. You saw that exact scenario play out against the 49ers. If they can get some more of that, they should be cooking with gas. Now, the trepidation there is they took advantage of a backup tackle. Both, almost all, not all of their pressure, but a lot of their pressure came against Trent Williams' replacement. So hopefully the Smiths, Gary, et cetera, they can continue to exert that pressure. I will say there was one notable kind of glimmer of hope there in the play of Rashawn Gary, in the sense that he was taking on a frontline starter in McGlinchey. And he, while not appearing on the stat sheet, sacks wise, he did affect the pocket and he did put pressure on the QB a number of times. So that is trending in the right direction. That's what you want to see. Hopefully he keeps that up. Any updates on Jair? Nothing yet. I will say I asked Matt on, I think it was Friday when we spoke with him, if there were any long-term concerns about any of the guys who got dinged up in Thursday night's game. He indicated that Dexter Williams was the only one who had any long-term concerns. Dexter was then reported to have or to be out for a number of weeks with his knee injury. So that would bode well for Jair, but we'll see. We won't get our first injury report until Wednesday. Hopefully Matt gives us some clarity on Jair when we talk to him later this afternoon. Andrew, thanks for the super chat. Spoon said we have one more week on Lazard. They have 3 games. So they have 21 days. So it'll be after this. If they don't do it this week, maybe like Monday. I don't know. I haven't counted the exact days, but possibly on Monday. But it's 21 days since he took the practice field. Whenever that 21st day is, they have to put him on IR or activate him. I love Jair. I'm just putting that out there. I hear you, Matt. We all do. What players with a mini buy help the most? All the injured ones. I mean, let's face it. Anybody who can get some extra rest, stay off their feet, you know, helps every single one of them. Wilson is no MVP. Look, I think Russell Wilson is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. There's no doubt about it. But this drumbeat early in the season to award him MVP while he's throwing interception after interception. Like, oh, he has all these great comebacks. Yeah, because he puts his team behind in derelict situations. It's going to be a much better Mark Sanchez in that regard. Merck, 1987, thanks for the super chat. As the Saints beat the Bucks and we beat the Saints by the transitive property, can we now say that we beat the Bucks? No. That ain't how it works. It's not who you play, it's when you play them. Brett, thanks for the super chat. The one seed race is going to be interesting. No doubt about it. At the moment, the Packers are actually sitting, I believe it's third in line, with the Saints being one, and the Bucks actually still sitting at 2, which is kind of crazy. But Packers at 3. So I think MVS earned more opportunities last week, and I don't think that's a good thing. ESPN football guy, I would quibble with your analysis there because I think he's exactly where he's going to be as far as his spot in the rotation. When Lazard comes back, he's going to be exactly where he needs to be. I don't think he's quote unquote earned more opportunities. They're not going to call more plays for him, especially once Lazard gets back, but they know he's capable. They know what he can do, but he's not a guy they're ever going to count on. They're not going to sit there when they have a full complement of Adams, Lazard, Jones, both tight ends, et cetera, and go, you know what? We need to dial up a play for MVS. That ain't going to happen. But he is going to be there when they start rolling coverage to Adams, bracketing Lazard, et cetera. He's a nice third option to have. There's zero doubt about that. Alex, thanks for the super chat. Bears lose, Seahawks lose. Can we get a Go Pack Go? Go Pack Go, Alex, from New York City. What's up, buddy? Could not agree more. MVS is infuriating. He can be. No doubt about it. Classic kind of trajectory of a coach killer in the sense that, you know, he tantalizes you with his talent. He's got all the ability in the world. He's just not consistent with it. But again, as a number three, instead of a number one or two, he's more than adequate. So it's Tunyon, not Tanyan. Yes, Matt. It is Robert Tunyon. Seahawks too. Yes. Sorry. Did I say Buccaneers? Seahawks too. That's right. Saints one, Seahawks two, Packers three in the NFC. That's correct. Packers beat the Saints, so they should win the tiebreaker. Eventually, if it came down to that, that would be correct. However, at the moment, especially on the strength of their two wins against the Buccaneers, the Saints have a better conference record. So that's why they're one right now. I will lay on my deathbed wondering if Adams would have caught it if Rodgers got the pass off in week 8 of the 2020 NFL season. Just go with probably not. How's that? William, thanks for the super chat. Do you think Rodgers will ever win another Super Bowl? Yep, he's going to win it this year, William. Come on, buddy. Let's go. Nathan, thank you for the super chat. Toughest game on the schedule right now is the Titan game. Could not agree more, Nathan, but cannot look past the Jaguars. Don't. Do it. Got to beat the Jaguars. Justin, thanks for the super chat. Do you think the lack of juice from some players came from the weird environment of a fanless Lambeau? Thanks for all you do. Justin, I mean, it's impossible to say with any certainty, but it is a really weird environment that they find themselves playing in Lambeau Field. You know, we've heard the guys talk about the need for, you know, the team itself to provide that juice. But I have zero doubt that, especially on defense, the side of the ball that really kind of feeds off that energy, you know, there is undoubtedly just a weird kind of way to play a football game. I will say, though, however, let's be honest here. Have you ever really thought that the Lambeau crowd was, you know, propelling the defense to great heights? You know, the people that yell, sit down on third down. I don't really know. And I know it's gotten better the last few years. Got better last year. There's no doubt about that. But, can only put so much stock in it. Adam, thanks for the super chat. Do you think AB will pan out for the Bucs? I guess it depends on what you mean pan out. Will he catch some touchdowns? Sure. Will he help them turn the franchise around and build a better culture that leads to elongated stretches of productivity and victories and championship runs? No. I'm much more about the latter than the former. That's just me. But, yeah, AB will catch some touchdowns, and everyone will celebrate it in Buccaneer land, and ultimately it won't mean a whole lot. A lot of sound and fury signifying nothing, as the old saying goes. Billy Turner earned his football spot next year. Andrew, I would say so. As I said on Twitter last week, I was very, I guess one would say, dubious about the contract that they handed Billy Turner in free agency a couple years ago. Made no bones about the fact that I thought Brian Gutekunst jumped the gun, especially with the number he gave Turner. But look, you have got to look at Billy Turner's play over the course of the last, say, 18 months and say that Gutekunst made the right call there. His versatility alone has been more than worth what he is getting paid. And then you turn around and look at his play both at right tackle and left tackle this season, and literally switching positions in game at times, worth every penny. I was absolutely wrong about Billy Turner. Still don't think he's a very good guard, and he certainly was up and down last year, but that positional versatility is paying off big time for the Packers. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. Do you think we keep Bunchus next season? I know it's a long ways away. It is a long ways away. I think there's a possibility. I think it's going to kind of depend on how the remainder of the season plays out. Maybe a guy like Malik Taylor or Shepard steps up. That's obviously projecting quite a bit. I do think they would like to have him back, but there are a lot of numbers to juggle. And I think that puzzle piece that Brian Gutekunst likes to talk about is going to be tough to fit if they end up retaining the guys they want to retain. You know, Bakhtiari, Jones, possibly Lindsley, maybe Kevin King, though that's looking more and more remote of a possibility. If they start keeping all these guys, it's going to be harder and harder to justify, paying even, $3 million to bring Funchess back. But we'll see. As you say, a long way to go. Hope you have a good, great day, Aaron. Keep up the good work. That's one of the nicest messages I've ever received. Thank you very much. Whoa, I forgot Funchess was on the team. Well, that's what happens when you opt out. People kind of forget. What receiver are we targeting at pick 32 in the next draft, Alex? I like how you're thinking, but I have no idea. Adam, thanks for the super chat. Best O-line of all time for the Packers. Woo, baby. I know you're not saying this one. Best one I've ever seen was that 2003 squad when Favre broke his thumb, basically, and they had to lean on Amon Green. And they defenses loaded up the box and literally before the snap of the ball said, it's a toss to the right. And they still couldn't stop the toss to the right while Amon Green ran for 8 yards. That's the greatest offensive line I've ever seen. Now, old timers will tell you the guys back in the 60s probably take that title, but that's for historians to quibble about. Nathan, thanks for the super chat. After a fanless 2020, anyone telling people to sit down in 2021 will just as soon get these hands. Just kidding. Let's not be violent, but you get it. Nathan, I absolutely get it. And unfortunately, I think people will still be telling people to sit down at Lambeau. Brett, thanks for the super chat. How great could Lacy have been still in Green Bay today? Well, I don't know. That's projecting a whole lot of years. If he had just, been a little bit more disciplined off the field. Yeah, he is a great example of a cautionary tale. He was absolutely outstanding that 2014 season. Loved watching him play. Is Edgar Bennett underappreciated? I don't think so. I mean, I don't think by diehard fans, maybe in the national consensus or, people who are kind of just casual fans of the Packers. But I think most diehards recognize his worth, especially that championship team in 96. Hell, you want to talk about even his post-playing career as a coach. He was a damn good coach for Mike McCarthy's staff. I think most diehards recognize his value. That's a question for Cliff Kristol or Lee Remmel. Oh, Lee Remmel. He was the absolute man. And yes, Cliff would have the answer to that. William, thanks for the super chat. It would have been so fun to see the 2010 and 2011 offense this year. Yeah, they would have made hay. But hey, the Packers have the, as of right now, before the Patriots and Jets play, and I don't think their play will affect it at all, the number 3 scoring offense in the league. So 2020 offense, not too shabby. It's doing all right. Do you think Rashawn Gary should slowly ease into Preston Smith's reps given his lack of production? I don't ever think it's that straight up. I do think you'll see Gary mixed in more, but I think Preston's played better the last 2 weeks. Don't forget, it's his pressure that caused the interception, and that doesn't go down as a sack. So when you talk about production, you got to be careful. Mike Smith always talks about it. I don't care what the sack totals say. It's about affecting the quarterback, affecting the pocket, and Preston's done that the last 2 weeks, last 2 games. So, I do think they need to get Gary on the field more, but it's not necessarily just because Preston's not racking up sack numbers. Andrew, thank you for the super chat. Does King's injury mean hometown discount or move on? I mean, here's the thing. I will be absolutely shocked if Kevin does anything other than hit the market and get paid by someone else. And that's not to take away from the fact that I do think the Packers would like to keep him around. I just can't imagine that they make even what approaches to be a competitive offer prior to free agency starting. I just don't see how it fits. That said, you never know where a guy's head is at, what his priorities are. Maybe he wants the security of whatever they offer early as opposed to hitting the market and maybe getting something below market. Although I got to think, even with the salary cap undoubtedly going down, revenue shortfalls, depressing values, etc. There are so many teams with so much cap space that will pay for a good corner. And they'll probably overpay to do it in that first kind of negotiating, 48-hour negotiating window. So I just think he holds tight and just tries to hit free agency. That's just a guess on my part. Any news on Chris or J-Love? Nothing yet. We'll probably, hopefully, get something later today when we get our first glean of the transaction report at the end of the day. Will indicate whether they're still on the COVID-19 reserve list or if they've been taken off. Maybe there's reporting right prior to that, but that's when we'll probably get the first inkling. Trash Panda, F the Bears. Thoughts? Yes, those are my thoughts. All right, I got to get going. I can't thank you guys enough for hanging out today, talking Packers. It's always a treat. Thanks so much for tuning in. Please hit like on this video. Subscribe to the channel. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. One programming note for the week: no Packer transplants on Wednesday. Packer transplants will happen on Friday at 5 p.m. Friday evening at 5 p.m. So make sure you mark your calendars. And a good way to know when things are happening and when we're going live is to subscribe to the YouTube channel. Please do that. Thanks so much, everybody. Have a great day. Go Pack Go.